Well, welcome to the Brent and Ozzy show. We're now 1 day behind another rate cut for the Bank of Canada, 0.5%. I don't think, Brent, that the Bank of Canada ever cut 0.5% within a 2 month period twice.
Within a consecutive time, you're absolutely right. I checked and I looked. I could not find anything. Even you know, back in the days, they'd have 2.25% drops, and that was over 6 months. So we've seen 5 consecutive drops and 2 massive jumbo drops right now, Ozzy. So I agree. I think you're absolutely right.
Well, so really, we went as high as, when I look at the variable rate, we had variable rates at 1%, you know, like 3 years ago, five. That was crazy, absolutely mad. And never in the history before did we have it, and likely never after. But the point is, we went right up, boom, to 5%. Knocked out the sales, and to my great surprise, actually, and certainly until 2022, when I looked at the market myself, and with the real estate that I was holding, I thought to myself, it just can't go any higher. And you and I talked about it. You know, I said the high is in place. I just every house in Surrey was $2 million. Give me a break. Any house. I mean, not as anything. Just a nice $3 million house in Surrey. But if any old houses was two, you know, that had to be the end of it. And the reality is, and we talked about that last time, that yes, it went down to 1.3 million, the average, and then it recovered now to around 1.5 million, but we're still not nowhere near where the high was, right? So at least we got hurt a little bit. But when you consider the low interest rates going to 5, we actually didn't get hurt that much because prices, although we're seeing cracks everywhere, prices really haven't collapsed.
No. Well, you know, and it's surprising too. I was just talking to one of my customers the other day, and you know, we were talking about $2 million, and I said, I remember years ago when somebody said to me, boy, you know, this house was $1 million, and I said, for $1 million, I'd go to West Vancouver. You know, I wouldn't be buying, you know, no disrespect to the nice neighborhood of Surrey, it's great, but I mean, still, when you're at $3 million now for some houses, no wonder they're sitting on the marketplace.
Well, and so, you know, when we said, look, you know, we went to 5%, the Bank of Canada must have said, you know what, we're seeing things cracking. And so here we have the past Bank of Canada Governor Stephen Pollock comes out last week and he says, you know what, we are in a recession. It's not a matter of getting into a recession. We are in one, right? So that's what he says. And look, he, even though he's retired, he has access to a lot more numbers than you and I do. Then, of course, we get the unemployment rate clocking in at 6.8% nationally, but in Ontario, 7.6%. And BC, we're actually doing well at around 6% or just below 6%. But clearly, they looked at all the numbers and said it was warranted to go down another 0.5%.
Well, and I'm going to quote Tiff Macklin. So you just talked about Steve Pelosi, who is very clear. Hey, we're in a recession here. Let's see how clear this sounds to you, Ozzy. Tiff Macklin, we want to see the growth pick up to absorb the unused capacity in the economy to keep inflation close to 2%. What the heck does that mean? we want to absorb the unused capacity in the economy. In other words, we're in trouble. We need to stimulate this economy right now, and they're doing it by dropping 2 massive rates.
Well, the crazy thing that most people don't realize that a lot of our inflation rate is made up by mortgage interest. In fact, you could really make an argument that should not be part of the official inflation rate. You know, I mean. So here we are, we're 2%, and so if your fishing rod went down and all of those obscure items went down, doesn't really mean my bread went down. Coffee is now soaring. And you know, when you look at all of the things that I need to live, it's much, much higher than 2%. I mean, and then it's cumulative, right? When you look at the last 5 years, we had 4% and 7% and 3%. So together we're up 25%. That's a fact.
Exactly.
But on their metrics, they're saying we're now to the target of 2%, and you know, the wind is blowing into the recession wind. You know, and I quoted and wrote about David Rosenberg, our perma bear. The funny thing about Mr. Rosenberg is he's been negative for 5 years. He's now turning somewhat positive. That is a sign that it's turning into what he forecast. I shouldn't say that, but. You know, all of the people that forecast at their dot-com bubble, they forecast big boom continuing, and I've always wondered that it cannot possibly continue. It's a nonsense. When they changed their mind and joined the boom crowd, then it was over.
Right.
so So anyways, the point is, you know, look at Toronto. I just saw a developer, I think his name was Denron, a builder, apparently a very high quality builder. Right. And he claims that in Toronto, the real estate, the condo market is imploding since 80% of the buyers are speculating investors. So that's his view. And you don't have to be a speculating investors in realizing that in our Surrey area, we also have the sales not going wild. We had a very anemic summer. We launched a lot fewer buildings that actually had planned. And right. Some of them never met the target that they needed in order to have their 60% financing.
Well, you know, and it's interesting you say that, Ozzy, because imploding like they are in Toronto. I mean, you and I remember when the Arizona market was really, you know, and all these companies across America, when the market dropped so much that companies were buying, you know, 20 and 30 houses and townhouses, you know, and the developers said, we'll sell it to you, but you can't resell it. And you know, even here, the developers were saying no resales, right? But yeah. I mean, investors need to have that ability to resell. So if they're all buying in speculation that they're going to be able to flip the property and make some profit off of it, well, and now all of a sudden the music has stopped, you're going to have all this product on the market for a second time. And a lot of these people are not in a position to complete, and they're having problems. And you and I've spoken about it, you and Scott, you know, you've spoken about it a couple of times, that these people are going to be in trouble if they can't complete, because they're going to be, you know, they're going to lose their deposits, and they still have the ability to get sued for non-completion. And that's important, you know.
Yeah,
but
I had a video yesterday with Stuart Ross, a Vancouver right. lawyer, who's talking about a deal in Kelowna where the buyer was actually charged the difference between what they had agreed to pay and what the developer in the end was able to sell it for, which was a $350,000 difference. So yeah, in Ontario, the problem, and this is what the developer's pointing out, he said it was crappy buildings built. Now, he's a luxury builder, so of course everybody else is like likely crappy units. But where he's right is they built these little boxes, you know, 350 square feet. I mean, I'm sitting here in front of my fireplace, and maybe a 4x4 foot thing. That was a bedroom, right? When you look at, you know, we have like 500 square foot, 2-bedroom, 2-bathroom suites. People, and you know, you can't get the end buyer that right. wants, he doesn't want to live there and move in. The reason why they were built that way is because the investor at $1,200 to $1,600 a foot in Toronto, $1,600 right. a foot, even a 500 square foot unit is worth $800,000. Well, they're just sitting empty, right? And so, and right. I guess that's what the developer was saying. All sorts of YouTube videos are out there talking about the Toronto market. Now, you and I discussed that with all of the maybe units that are not selling, and no new units being built, that eventually, maybe 2 years from now, 3 years from now, whatever is in the pipeline now being constructed and but delivered into the market next year is probably going to be a very nice deal.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and right now there's, you know, between $400,000 and $600,000 in Wally, there's a lot of choices out there right now, over 600 units. And definitely, I don't know.
Over 600 units. So what would you have to pay for, say, a 500 or 600 square foot, 1-bedroom.
Well, you know, you've got some pretty good opportunities. It depends if they're brand new or if they're used, of course, right? You know, you see stuff up to $1,000 a square foot for the really small ones. But again, when it's 335 square feet, you know, that's good value for somebody, right? You know, when they're larger, if they're 800 square feet, you're definitely paying a less amount of money because that's just the cost of it. The smaller they are, the more price per square foot. Yeah. You know, there's more buyers. But of course, like you're talking about, when you find people that are, you know, 400 square feet and things like that, when you do find units like that, sooner or later, that guy or gal is going to meet somebody and they're going to move in, and maybe they even wind up having a baby. Could you imagine all those people in that property?
Well, I mean, and that's part of it, right? So the investor can't get a tenant that wants to live there or pay the outlandish amounts that are needed in order to finance. And so you alluded to the fact that maybe some can't complete. Well, there's four broadcasters on YouTube that say that in Toronto, there may be so as many as 30 or 40% of the building not completing. And if they don't complete, then it's difficult for the developer to build a strata corporation. And if he can't have a strata corporation, he can't get an occupancy permit. So there's potential. We don't want to be, you know, yelling black, fire, fire, but there is huge potential, because the more people realize, hey, maybe not all is good, then they back off even more, right? When perhaps they have a great opportunity now.
Well, you're absolutely right. The other thing is, you know, there's definitely developers that are nervous right now that the buyers are going to complete, because they don't want to get stuck in a lawsuit. They don't want to be stuck in.
No.
They just want the deals to complete. You know, the buyers that are buying, they could be in trouble too, obviously, if they put their names down for one or two units in anticipation of, and we've talked about it before, of keeping it, putting it out as a rental for an Airbnb. Well, that income cash flow isn't there. Interest rates rose. Price, you know, income is going down, obviously, not only for Airbnb you don't have, but that monthly rental is now lower as well. Let's face it, if a developer says, hey, I can rent this building for $2,400 a month, and that's what's going on in other buildings, but now you've got 400 new units coming available, well, you're competing with 399 other people to say, get that same tenant.
Yeah, you know? It'll take some time. I've seen buildings in Vancouver where, you know, the 5th, the 12th floor rented at 1200, and then the 11th floor also at 1200, and then somebody on the 9th floor said, you're going to get mine at 950. Boom. Every unit after that was 950 and
exactly.
below, right? Because
exactly.
But that was just...
I've seemed to lose your volume here, Ozzie.
It had nothing to do... it's maybe because I'm moving around too much. How's it now?
Sorry, I can't hear you at all.
You're kidding.
You look good, though, I'll tell you that much.
So can you hear me now?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it says the default microphone has changed. Okay. All right. When did you stop hearing me?
You were talking 1,200 and 1,200 and then 900, and everybody else goes into those properties,
yeah.
Right? You know,
but that wasn't the market. It was the owners themselves. They all came into the market on the same day, so they were fighting for the tenants. You know,
I remember when a fellow named Randy, he bought into. He was a renter at Vista Ridge, and you know, this was a new complex, and most of the units were sold to Hong Kong and Toronto investors back in the day by IntraWest. Anyways, he said it was the most peculiar thing, because at the beginning, it was a friend of mine that had bought the unit. And so Randy had moved into it, and Randy would park his car anywhere in the parkade, you know, when he went up to his unit on the third floor, he'd push the elevator. When he came back in the morning, the elevator was still there waiting for him. and he'd park in a different spot when he came home. There was no other tenants in the building, you know, and sooner or later, you know, we do need tenants. So no wonder that guy that you're talking about that went from $1,200 to $950, and that changed the entire marketplace. Well, they need some rent.
Well,
you know?
It's the potential tenant says, well, this is $1,200, this is $950, they're the same unit, one floor apart. But the point is, in the end, it all evens out. Yes, rents are down. We have, you know, the rentals.ca, and they're saying that we actually had a second time a drop in the rent values across the country. Not majorly, but it's less expensive to rent than it was, although it's still much more expensive than, say, 3 or 4 years ago. Okay, let's take a final look at the interest rates. We were from 5%, we're now at 3.25%. That's the overnight rate. And so that meant the prime rate, which was 5.95%, is now 5.45%. And so I think that even in today's world, you know, usually the prime rate that the bank charges its best customers, which would be 5.45, it usually can be beaten by another 0.9 to 1%. So you should be able to get a mortgage for about 4.5%. Would that be your experience?
Yeah, right now one of my customers got, like, they were given offered 4.14 for 5 years, I believe.
A fixed rate, yeah, that's the lowest.
Rate. Yeah. And, you know, but they haven't, I was on the phone with the bank today, and they haven't seen they're seeing the variable change, but they haven't seen they're not sure what's going to happen today with a fixed.
So we can certainly make that point that the change in interest rate really applies to the variable mortgage holder, to the HELOC, or any line of credit that you have. You're paying less, you know, depending on whether you have an adjustable variable or you know, there's various degrees of variable mortgage rates. So in either your payment went down or your amount of money went down. And so you have a variety of things, but it's all good as long as you're in a variable environment. The fixed right. mortgage is tied to the bond rate, and the bond rate right now in Canada at a 5-year rate is about 3 point something, maybe around 3.1 or 3.2, which means that in order for the bank to borrow that money, they also have to make some money. So we're looking at the 5-year rate still in the 4.5% range. However, the TD Bank has come out and sees that the bank rate to be 2.25% next year. That would be another 1.5% drop. And if that's true, then anybody that has a mortgage come due now should go variable.
Right. Well, and it's interesting because, you know, they have some insight. And usually I always used to say that the bank would talk it. You know, for example, when TD would advertise in the newspapers back in the days when there was newspapers, and they would talk it down, like they would say, or talk it up. Well, you know, the CEO of Toronto Dominion Canada Trust says that the rates will be going up in the next 30 days. Well, that forces people to, that'll encourage people, yeah, to make a move. So guess what? Even though they're not changing anything, it's a good way to make them make a move. Here, they're looking at, hey, they're saying you should go variable right now, which is interesting. Now, what does that mean to the public? What does that mean? So we write an offer on a property. We're in the middle of a deal today, you know, and the realtor phones me back and says, well, the people are pretty optimistic as the rates are going down, as they just went down today, that, you know, they can wait it out and they can wait for a higher price. I said, well, they have been on the market for over 6 months now. And, you know, they've dropped their price 2 or 3 times. I think it's 3. And sure, they can wait it out. But, you know, what's the benefit to them? So if they wait it out and there's more, somebody will pay more money. If they're buying another property, Ozzy, yeah, they're going to be in a situation where, you know, hey, if you buy high, you're selling high. If you're buying low, you're selling low. And now there's not as many, there's more opportunities for properties for sale too, you know, because if everybody starts lining up to buy it, and that's what people are anticipating. So here we've got, again, a seller that's looking for more money than it's worth right now, and a buyer that wants to pay what the market's value is today or less, right? And that's what
he wants to wait even for a better rate, right? I'll wait till next year for that. So, but I mean, that it's an interesting point you're making. I used to, as an old branch manager, we had a chart, and I could show you, yes, sir, we can get you less for your house. That's true. And let's say the price was $1 million. Maybe you have to come down 10% to 900,000. But remember, you're going to buy a $1.5 million house. And that's also down 10%. So that's 150,000 less. You're actually 60,000 or better off in this market because you're upselling, because exactly, you're buying something more expensive. So you have to look at the whole thing. As long as you have faith in Canada or faith in BC or Toronto or wherever you are, and in real estate has done so well all the time over the last 50 years, as long as you have that, then what do I do now? And I think you and I talked about mortgage wars. So if your mortgage coming due, make sure that you check with 3 or 4 banks. Get a good quality mortgage broker. You know, get a Jared Dreyer from Verico or Kyle Green from Green Mortgage, somebody that's also an investment type mortgage broker. And they have all of the rates at their fingertips and the deal that a bank will make. Like we talked before, the bank actually might lose a little money on the mortgage it gives you. Now, right, don't cry for them, because they want to make it on the checking account and on your RSPs and, you know, depending on the totality. But so that probably is good. But in my view, I always used to talk fixed. But right now, as all of the major banks say we're going to go lower, that the unemployment rate is going up, and that the bankers are very concerned about recessions, that that is likely a year from now that it's going to be less than what it is now. So you don't want to lock yourself in and now, can't get out.
I want to tell all your followers to listen to Ozzy's advice. You've been telling people when the rates were 1.89 and 2.29, a lot of the mortgage brokers were telling people to stay variable. You know, the bankers were telling people to stay variable, and you were telling people lock in, lock in, lock in. So now if Ozzy is telling you that variable might be the way to go, I would suggest variable might be the way to go. You know, Tiff Macklin again said yesterday, well, we'll lower rates again, but not as strongly as we did. You know, but he really had to do something here. And of course, the job rating, like you know, but Ozzy, your followers should be definitely paying attention to this. I do agree.
Well, just a minute. We're not giving advice, right? This is my opinion, right? Yeah. And everybody has to make, this is a crazy world. Nobody should give any advice. Usually, particularly when somebody gives you really strong advice. I look at some of the gurus that are now on the internet, some of the advice they've given. One of the gurus, whose name shall remain nameless, said he had $1 billion in debt, and that's the way to go, right? And now he's broke. Not surprisingly, yeah. Anyways, look, we're living in wonderful times. The market will take a little bump, I think. I think what we said the last time is look at your house, make it festive. Don't run away. Make sure that you list your house during don't show it on Christmas Day, but make sure that you sit down with your broker and somebody quality like our good friend Brent Roberts. But do list it and make it look good. Put the Christmas tree up, put the wreath on the window, put some lights on it, you know, bake some cakes, have that smell, and take away all the little pictures from Aunt Jemima that you have every day on a house. Make sure they can see themselves move in.
Right on. Well, you know, and you know, you talk about, you know, the timing is good. We live in a place that's really, the weather is nice. We're really blessed with that. I know that, you know, when you were talking about the rental rates going down, for example, across the country, well, if I was living in Winnipeg at minus 37 degrees right now, or minus 25 degrees in Alberta right now, I probably wouldn't be looking for to move either, right? So, you know, if you've got a place that's going to be frozen over for the next 2 or 3 months, you know, you're going to have to lower your rents to encourage somebody to come over, right? And potentially, you know, with the sales too, our market is very good. Our weather is usually good at this time of year still, until the snowfall.
Good is relative. You know, we do have, you know, flippers on most of the time because the rain, by the way, it's supposed to start raining in this weekend again. So,
yeah.
Anyways, my friend, we shall see you next week.
Thank you. Have a great evening. Bye now.